Thank you, brother. I want to thank my sisters for that special. I didn't know it was coming. But I've learned a long time ago when my sister Chris is going to stand and sing, it behooves you to listen. And it's getting to be the same with my daughters. I stand before you today telling you the same thing that our brothers have been telling us the last 2 days. That God has a way. And that way is never changed. It's never altered. My brother Duane mentioned a scripture there in Malachi, the 3rd chapter and the 6th verse. And I got this, and those of you that's been around me very much, you know what I have here. I'm not the best artist in the world, but this is a key. And I put the quotation that our brother was talking about. I want to start with it tonight because I want you to know that the things in which you've heard here by our brothers will not change. And we'll be judged by those things because they've been teaching the truth. And the Lord says it's the truth that makes us free. I put the quotation in here that says, I am the Lord. I change not. So that way we can know with a fact the beauties of the gospel of Christ because he has so specifically brought them out for us so we didn't have to guess. He's caused that all the things in the world and old Satan and everything, they can't stand against the Word of God. And the things they keep coming up with throughout the world, don't ever fool yourself. If they're not according to what the Son of God taught, they're not His. If they're teaching a changing God, a God that's no longer the same, that He teaches different things and one thing and another, they don't have God. Because He doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Scriptures tell us. This key that I have here with that quotation in there, for I am the Lord and I change not, what happens to the world and what we find is that they get a hacksaw and they cut the end of the key off. When they cut the end of the key off, it says, I am the Lord and I change. That's not true. He can't. We've talked about the things that has been in time past and the things that's been coming and one thing and another, and we have to be alert and awake that we have things coming, and some of us might live longer than others that's going to see those things, but there's things that's coming. And the things that's coming upon the earth is going to be the fulfillment of the teachings of God. To the letter. Dead on. Bar none. And it behooves us to come to that understanding. It behooves us to realize that He doesn't change. And when we hear things and when we talk to people and they tell us this and they tell us that, if it's opposite of what our Lord taught, like John said, you know, try the spirits. Yeah, if it's opposite of what he taught, you know immediately it's not true. You don't have to guess on it or anything else. I know you go to the Bible and the Bible tells you that the devil can stand before you in the light of an angel. You go to the Book of Mormon and you read that and he says the devil stands before you nigh in the light of an angel. He can't hold a heavenly light. But he can have a light or the endeavor to teach people and everything if we're not alert and awake. If we haven't sufficiently studied, hear me, it's important that we sufficiently study, that we know what he requires of us and what he teaches us. It's important that we come to the knowledge of those things, the things that he tells us. That way you know somebody trying to tell you something, you know whether it's true or it isn't. Dead on. There's no place for them to go. And I'm going to cover quickly, if I can, just a few things that I cover a lot of places I go because it's so essential. Number one is I want to go to the Scriptures, just like I got here and this here. I want to go to the Scriptures and verify the fact that he says the Lord does not change. So we're going to stand on the proper foundation, and that's what the Son of God brought, and we're going to find it. I want to start over here, and I just quoted there Malachi, and I showed that to you in the third verse in the sixth chapter. And if you was to go over to, Duane read it, I believe, if you went over to the 11th chapter of the third book of Nephi, if you went over there and got into the ninth verse, that's on page 668. Page 668. Would somebody read that for me, please?
What verse?
Ninth verse.
For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed.
I am the Lord, and I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. He puts it dead on the line. That's what he says over there in Malachi. I am the Lord, I change not. What do you say about the sons of Jacob? Who are the sons of Jacob? That's the house of Israel. You know what he's going to do, honey? Those are 12 sons, and he's going to gather them home. And they're going to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're going to begin to believe it according to his promises and prophecies that those things are going to happen. That they're going to do just exactly that. And if we were to go over into Mormon, I'd like to go to the fourth chapter of Mormon. In your Book of Mormon. That's what, 710, I think it is. 710 in your Book of Mormon. And there on page 710 in the fourth chapter of Mormon, I'm going to start in brevity because I've been told I got just a certain length of time, and that's till tomorrow morning. And I don't want to go any further. Sorry about that. But nevertheless, I'll start there in the 66th verse there on page 710. And this is Mormon talking, and he's directing these things. And remember, he's the one that put the words of God together. He's the one that did that. Okay? He says, "And again I speak unto you, who deny the revelations of God and say that they are done away, that there are no revelations, nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healings, nor speaking with tongues, nor interpretations of tongues. Behold, I say unto you, he that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ." I'm going to talk about the gospel here some this evening. And so I want you to take notice. He says, "They knoweth not the gospel of Christ." And I'm going to get back to that word. Okay? "Yea, he has not read the Scriptures." How many times do you get into the Scriptures and the Lord says, "You haven't read the Scriptures"? He's caused these things to be written. If you went to the 13th chapter of the third book of Nephi, Christ teaching, he says, "My Father commanded them to write." So that we would have that record in the way today. Yes. And he says, not only up to that time when Christ was talking to him on this land, But he says, and those things are to be done. He's going to command them to write so you and I can have a record of it today so that we know where we can stand, that we would recognize the rock of salvation that we can stand on, that the wind and the rain and all the problems and the pushing of the evil one, that they can't do anything with you. You aren't standing on the sand, that you're standing on the rock that God set for those who believe and would hold fast to the gospel of Christ. That's what it amounts to. And that's the good part about that. Let me go further here. He says, Christ, and he says, they have not read the scriptures. If so, they do not understand them. For do we not read that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? And in him there is no variableness, neither shadow of changing. And now if ye have imagined up unto yourself a God that doth vary, and in him there is a shadow of changing, then ye have imagined up unto yourself a God which is not a God of miracles. Now let's go to the 82nd verse there and the next page. And behold, I say unto you, he changeth not. If so, he would cease to be God. And he ceaseth not to be God and is a God of miracles. And we've heard the miracles here in the very testimonies. We've heard the miracles of those things. We've heard him preach and teach those things. In the last 2 days, we heard him bring those things out of the validity and the truthfulness of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the things that he taught, and how important it is to realize and to praise him and to thank him for the things that he has caused to be written to edify you and I, to let us know the truth, because he says it's the truth that shall make you free. If it's the truth that makes you free, that's what we want. That's what we want. We don't want a second down, partly, or if so, or added to, or a water deal. We want the things that the Lord came and gave his life to teach us and to show us by example the way to walk to eternal life. And know indeed, when he spoke, he wasn't just passing the time of day and everything fine, this is that. Everything that he did was for the edification of your soul and mine and the world's souls, to teach us the way to eternal life. That's why he caused those things to be written and printed, and we carry them in 2 books, in the Bible and the Book of Mormon. That's why he caused it for us to know that in the 20th chapter of Revelation, when it says that they're standing before the bar of God there, and all the flesh and everybody come, that, and he says, and they're going to be judged according to those things which are written in the books. Brothers and sisters, look at them. Written in the books. And another book is open, which is the book of life, and the dead is judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. In other words, according to how they apply them to their life. Do we think it's essential to study these? Well, I would say it is, because they're going to judge us. These books are going to be open, and the things that he has taught and directed are going to judge us at that day. They're going to judge us. We better be alert and awake. And how important it is. How important it is for us to know what's in those books. And instead of watching TVs and all kinds of stuff all the time and programs and everything else, we better come to the conclusion that he is going to return. He's going to return. And when he's going to return, he tells us that this is sort of important to you and I. He tells you that when we pass away, the Book of Mormon tells us when we pass away, he says, when we come back to stand before the Lord, we come back with the same spirit that we went out to. If you go out with an evil spirit, that's how you come back to stand before him. If you go out with a good spirit, that's what you come back to stand before Him. And you know, we always think, well, we got time to do this and we got time to do that. And the Book of Mormon tells us that we're here for one reason, and that's to work out our salvation. That's what we're here for, is to work out our salvation. And we have to ask ourselves, am I doing it? Am I preparing it? Oh, I know. There's a lot of people say, well, you know, when I get older, I'll take care of that. Are you going to be here tomorrow? Are you sure? Do we know that an airplane won't fall on this house? Do we know that we won't have an automobile accident? Do we know when the Lord is going to decide to call us home? Are we ready? And have we been making ourselves ready? That's important. Don't say, well, I'm young, everything's going to be fine. You're not really sure. Just take a look at the news and just pick up the newspaper. And how many young people and how many young people are committing suicide each day? Think about it. If they commit suicide, what's that tell you, Bob? It tells you that they're not here to repent no more, are they? It's bad news. It's bad news because they've gone home. The Scripture says they've gone back to the God that gave them. The Scripture says when they get there that the Lord makes a decision whether they're going to go to a place of happiness called paradise, or if they've had their opportunity to follow after Christ and to know Him and have rejected it, He says they go to outer darkness. Is there anybody here like to have your spirit go to outer darkness? Is there anybody here, you young people, your old people, myself, is there anybody here that would like to be tormented day and night forever and ever? Think about that. That's no end. That's no end. It's important for us to realize that we're here for a purpose, and that's to work out our salvation. Whether we want to go live with God the Father and Jesus Christ from all eternity to all eternity, or if we're going to be cast down with the Satan and a third of the host of angels and be tormented day and night from all eternity to all eternity. That's a choice we're making. That's how important that choice is. That's how important that choice is. We read over here now in Mormon, there in the fourth chapter, I want to go over to James in your Bible. And there in James, the first chapter of James, I'm going to start in the 16th verse. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. There's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. It's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. The things that He taught those individuals, the things that He taught the 12 apostles, that they tell you that He went up on the mount and He called them and ordained them, it tells you there. And He named them apostles. You know the same gospel that He taught them? Our apostles are teaching today. Because we're under the same law. We're under the same way to eternal life. He hasn't changed it. He hasn't altered it. He hasn't done different things to mix things up or anything else. As long as we're right here, let's turn over here to 1 Peter. James and Peter, 1 Peter. I want to go to the first chapter of 1 Peter, and I'm going to read, for brevity's sake, I'll read the 25th verse. He says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel was preached unto you. How important is that gospel? That gospel is the word of God. It's the way to eternal life. That's how important it is. If you go over to the 40th chapter of Isaiah and read about the 6th through the 8th verses there, tells you very similar the same thing, that word of God isn't moved, not changed, or anything else. It stands. That's so you and I can find him, so that you and I would know whether we're on the path or not. If he changed it all the time, and every time you went to somebody, and they said, oh yeah, well he changed that 4 years ago, you know. How would you know what to believe? That's why he has caused the two books that we have before us to be written and preserved, and they've even changed those, haven't they? Yeah. If you went over to this, the book that I'm reading out of, this the King James book here, if you went over to Romans 16:16, what would it say? It says, salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. Yeah. And he said, if somebody's teaching opposite of those things, he said, look out, because they're not very interested in the truth, and they're just, what they're doing is they're preaching to fill their belly. And almost all the churches that you have today, their ministry is what? It's paid. It's a paid ministry. And that's what they do. I'm going to read that. Salute one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ salute you. 17th verse. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not the Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. That's what we have. That's what we have. When you're out talking to people, they'll tell you, oh, well, you know, yeah, you know, I know. But his name, boy, he's got his name, and you know, he's Jesus, and he's you know, I just scanned through just a little bit, and I think I've got 25 names that they call Christ. Yeah. He's the Son of God, you know. He's the everlasting Father. He's so many different things, okay? But you know, when you go over to the Book of Mormon, how many of you believe the Book of Mormon? Can I see your hands? Okay. When you go over to the Book of Mormon, if you went over to the Book of Mormon, and if you went to the 12th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi, the Lord answers that, guys. Young people, the Lord answers that very discussion. What do you call the name of this church? They had that from the time that Joseph Smith translated it by the power of God. And you know what it says over it? Well, maybe I'm going to go there. I want to go to the 12th chapter of the 3rd book of Nephi. He says he doesn't change. That's what he tells us. He says he doesn't change, and I guess we better get to the 12th chapter. The 11th don't read the same. And I'm going to start in the 12th verse. And it came to pass that they did all things even as Jesus had commanded them. Now let's get it on right to the bare line right now. This is when Jesus was on this land and he was walking and working with the children of men on this land, just like he did over in Jerusalem. The same. Teaching the gospel. Teaching the way to eternal life. That's what he suffered for. That's why he allowed him to drive nails through his hands and feet. That's why he allowed him to whip him and to spit on him and to beat him. Was to bring these things out so that we could know the path that we're to walk, so that we can have eternal life with him and his son. And I'll tell you what, if I could snap my fingers and you could see and know for a fact, if you've got a problem, you'd change that problem today. Because there's not going to be anything that's so beautiful and so marvelous and powerful as to be able to go live with God the Father and His Son. And there's not anything that's going to be so distressful and everything to have to be cast down and tormented day and night forever and ever. And the Scripture says there's no way back. I know a lot of people say, oh yeah, they can come back. No, the Scripture says there's no way back. They're there from all eternity to all eternity. We're living in that time that He has given us to prepare ourselves to go live with God and His Son. That's the time that we're living in. And it's important that we realize that and how important it is to the choices that we make. The choices that we make. Let's read this here. 13th verse. And they which were baptized in the name of Jesus were called the Church of Christ. Now, what is this here? They were doing what Jesus had commanded them. And here now they did what Jesus had told them, and so they were, when they were baptized, they were called the Church of Christ. But yet the disciples of Jesus that He called on this land, they were going ahead and they were preaching and teaching and one thing and another there in the 14th verse. And in the 15th verse, it tells you that Jesus again showed Himself unto them, for they were praying unto the Father in His name. And Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said unto them, what will ye that I should give unto you? And they said unto Him, Lord, we will that Thou wouldest tell us the name whereby we shall call this church. They're asking Him point blank, Bob, what are we going to call this church? What are we going to call this church? That's what He's asking. That's what they're asking. They've been fasting and praying to ask Him, what are we going to call this church? Do we believe in the Book of Mormon? Let's look at that very seriously. Okay? And they said unto Him, we will that Thou would tell us whereby we shall call this church, for there are disputations among the people concerning this. Just like there is today. There's arguments and fuss and everything else over what they should be and everything. And you get into all the restorations. You get into all kinds of stuff and everything else. And they all have different names. They all do different things. And none of them are set in order as God commanded. No. No. Gather them together. Gather them together. Louise and I was just up in Illinois, and we was talking to some Baptists there. And as we were talking to them, there's the young man that wanted to talk to us. He about the Book of Mormon. He his dad was a minister, wasn't he, Louise? Yeah, he was a minister in the Baptist church. And so he came in, and we sat down, and we had quite a discussion. Yeah. And so I asked him, you know, I broke out the things I carry with me all the time about the different churches that separated from the Catholic Church. That was put out by the Life magazine many years ago. I think it was in the 40s when it was put out. And it had all these forms that just looked like a tree coming down. And there was only one place there that was called Church of Christ. And they came from the Disciples of Christ. Okay? But they didn't have apostles. They didn't believe in apostles. They didn't believe anything in the form that God set up. They don't even believe today, as I talk to their ministry, they don't even believe today that God does anything. It's all run by man now. He don't do that anymore. How can they do that when He has so plainly testified that He does not change? If He doesn't change, where are the miracles? We've heard testimonies since we've been here of the miracles, the things that happen. Is He dead? Or is he very much alive? And is it the ones that are dead are the ones that don't believe in him and turn and say he's away? They better wake up to the fact that he has a way. And he directs that way. Let's go further here now. The 17th verse. And the Lord said unto them, take notice who's talking. This is Jesus himself. And the Lord said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, why is it that the people should murmur and dispute because of this thing? Have they not read the scriptures which which saith, ye must take upon you the name of Christ, which is my name? For by this name shall ye be called at the last day. Aren't we in the last days? Yeah. And whosoever taketh upon him my name and endureth to the end, the same shall be saved in the last days. Therefore, whatsoever thing ye do, ye shall do it in my name. Therefore, ye shall call a church in my name, and ye shall call upon the Father in my name, that he will bless the church for my sake, and howbeit my church, save it be called in my name. What's his name? Christ. He said that's what it's to be called in. He didn't say Jesus Christ. He didn't say Son of God Church. No, he says his name's Christ. And it's an odd thing, you know, that some say, well, what are we worried about calling it that for? You know, just for that, everything. It's all fine, is it? No, it isn't fine. There's a direct way, and it's his way, not ours. Therefore, whosoever shall do this, ye shall do it in my name. Therefore, ye shall call a church in my name, and ye shall call upon the Father in my name, and he will bless the church for my sake, howbeit my church, save it be called in my name. For if the church be called in Moses' name, then it be the church of Moses. And if it be called in the name of a man, then it be the church of a man. But if it be called in my name, then it is my church, if it so be they are built upon my gospel. There's other churches in this old world that carries the name, the Church of Christ. They don't believe in the apostles. They don't believe in the things that Christ said in the church. They don't teach the truth. And he says it's the truth that makes you free. If you don't have the truth, you're just fooling yourself. That's how important it is. Let's go a little further here. Verily I say unto you that ye are built upon my gospel. Therefore ye shall call whatsoever thing ye do, call it in my name. Therefore ye shall call upon the Father in my name for the church. And if it be my name, the Father will hear you. And if it so be that the church is built upon my gospel, then will the Father show forth his own works in it. How many testimonies did we hear today? How many testimonies do you think that come in to the Restoration Gospel, friend, since April 6, 1830, since the Gospel came back after that 1,260 years? I think about just my family and just Dwayne's family and the people that I have mixed him with in my time. And I'm just a young guy. And you know, you look in that and you think about that and all the years from the time I've been big enough to see and to know and to understand, I've seen miracles wrought by the power of God through prayer. Mighty miracles. He hasn't changed. His love is still there. He's still willing to forgive. He's still willing to do those things. It's the same thing, brothers and sisters. He hasn't changed. I'm going to jump quick. I'm going to go down here now to the 23rd verse, for instance. But if it be not built upon my gospel, and is built upon the works of men, and upon the words of the devil, Verily I say unto you, they have joy in their works for a season, and by the end cometh, and they are honed down and cast into the fire from whence there is no return. That's something that we don't want. That's something that we don't want. You know, if you have a pencil, for instance, if it doesn't change, if you can keep this down, I'm not going to go to it because my time seems to be going. I'd like to stop it, but the water keeps running under the bridge, doesn't it? So that's where we're at. But let me tell you something. If you went to Luke, the 6th chapter, and the 12th through the 13th verses, it'll tell you about the calling of those apostles and the ordinations. And it tells you about their name. Go to Mark, the 3rd chapter, and the 13th and the 14th verses. It tells you about those apostles, that Christ called them, and he ordained them, and he named them apostles. And he told them that they were there for his work. Is the Lord's work still busy today? Is it still essential? Is it still important? Yes. That body of Christ, that church of Christ, what shall we call your church? It's here today and it's going to remain here today. Yeah. You know, in that testimony that I told my brother and sister here when I was at their house, the Tarbells, after we went over and talked to some reorganized people, and we came back and we got over there at about 4 o'clock in the morning, and we went in and had prayer, Jim and I did, and went to bed. And I went to sleep, and I woke up. And I was commanded the Lord. He said, get up and read. He says, read the 2nd chapter of Daniel. So I got up. Well, we know that Daniel was interpreting the dream of Nebuchadnezzar. But it goes on and tells you this is going to happen in the latter days. And he says, in the days of these kings, will the God of heaven set up a kingdom which will not be destroyed or left to other people, but they shall stand forever and consume all these others. Yeah. That's the 44th verse there in the 2nd chapter. Well, did you know that... I told the Lord, I said, well, I believe that. I teach that. He said, well, when did the statue fall? Never dawned on me when it fell. So Jim and I started hitting the libraries in Canada, New York, on the Akwesasne, all over. We started hitting the libraries. And we took those. That statue is different nations, different countries. They had to all be under their own government. Did you know that Greece won their independence from Turkey in September of 1829? Then the statue was complete and whole. All those nations and the 10 kingdoms, the 10 toes that come out of there, you know, out of Rome, you know, they were all under their own government. Yeah. And Joseph Smith was commanded of the Lord to establish the Church of Christ according to the law of the land in April 6th of 1830. That statue was standing there? Yeah. Did you know that in 1800, in October the 4th of 1830, that statue fell? The toes started fighting. And they come out with 11 toes, and then all of a sudden it just went like that, and it didn't stand anymore. What did that tell us? Jim and I were talking to a bunch of reorganized and Mormons and everything. It tells us that they came into being after that statue fell. That statue fell on October the 4th of 1830. And you know something else? Joseph Smith at that time was an apostle. Until they began to change things and decided that he would be a president. And then he ends up being the president over the Council of 12. Did you know if you go to the Book of Mormon, you got a concordance, look it up. You won't find the word president in the Book of Mormon. You'll find the word president one place in the Bible, and that's the sixth chapter of Daniel, and it wasn't talking about the church or anything. It was talking about over countries and over towns and stuff. That's the only presidents you find in both scriptures that's going to judge us. Did you know that? So how in the world did Joseph Smith end up as a president over the council when he was an apostle? There's a lot of things, and you know, you run into a lot of things when you're into history, because you can go and you can have a bunch of people stand on the street corner and see an accident, and they go over and get everybody's ideas, and they got different ideas everywhere you go. And you find the same thing in all the meetings and things that you find more or less in the beginning of the Church of Christ. Yeah. And so when the brother calls me and ask me, what am I going to do? I'm talking to a Mormon elder here, and he's over in the history, and he's in this. And I told him, I said, take this history and set it aside, and take the Bible and the Book of Mormon. That's the way to talk to him. Because if you go to the Bible and the Book of Mormon, there's no place for him to go. There's no place for him to go. That's the same way with the rest of the churches. They'll say, we have apostles, but they also have prophets and presidents over the top of the apostles. It's not the Lord that's over. In their history, it tells you that if their prophet prophesies, why, it's the truth unless he dies. The Lord won't let him prophesy something that isn't true. He'll take his life first. So if he prophesies something and he lives, well, then that's true. Whether it overrides scripture or whatever it is, that's automatically true. That's what their history tells you. There's so many different things. That's why I like that key. God does not change. The things that he sent his son to teach us are valid today. Strong. Mighty to the way about salvation to the soul. Important. Important direction for eternal life. That's how it is. There's so many things. When did we start? I've got some things here I need to get into. Okay. I'm going to go and I'm going to... There's a lot of other scriptures that verify the fact he doesn't change. And that, you know, that he doesn't walk in crooked paths. And let's go over there. I want to go over in the Book of Mormon. I want to go... Oh. Let me see here. I'm trying to cut some of these out as I go. I want to go there in the fifth chapter of Alma, on page 325. And I want you to listen to this real close. Follow me along. If you can follow me along, that's what I'd like to have you do, because I don't want you to take my word for nothing. Because you're not going to be judged by my word. But you're going to be judged by those things that God the Father has caused to be written. That's what you're going to be judged by. In fact, the whole world's going to be judged by it, whether they like it or not. That's how important it is. Let's read this. I'm going to start in the 33rd verse. For I perceive that ye are in the paths of righteousness. Now, I'm in the fifth chapter of Alma. That you're in the paths of righteousness, and I perceive that ye are in the path which leads to the kingdom of God. Wow. They're in the path that leads them to the kingdom of God. I'm going to cover that in a little bit. Okay? Yea, I perceive that ye are making his path straight. I perceive that it hath been made known unto you by the testimony of his word that he cannot walk in crooked paths. Neither doth he vary from that which he hath said, neither hath he a shadow of turning from the right to the left, for from that which is right to that which is wrong, therefore his course is one eternal round. And he doth not dwell in unholy temples, neither can filthiness nor anything that is unclean be received in the kingdom of God. That he has one straight path. He doesn't yield one way or the other. It's direct. It's direct. I'm going to skip a bunch of scriptures. I'm going to talk about the gospel. You hear a lot of things, and one thing and another, what do they mean by that? I'm going to tell you, according to the gospel, I want to bring out a few thoughts. It says here, it says, the word gospel means good news. Or good story. It's a good story that tells you the way to eternal life. That is a good story. You bet. The Vines Dictionary says, the gospel is received historically in references to the interpretation of the facts of the scriptures. Whew. That sounds like you don't change. And so I want to take you to the scriptures. I want to take you there. I want to take you in Matthew, the 24th chapter of Matthew. And we've talked about knowing things ahead of time and one thing and another. Well, this is a warning to you and I of something that's going to happen and what's going to be fulfilled. And so that we know before it comes, we know ahead of time what's going to happen here. In the 24th chapter of Matthew, I'm going to read, I think I'll start in the third verse there. And he says this, and as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? What is that? When are you going to come? What's going to be the end of the world? What's going to be this? And Jesus said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Don't let anybody fool you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Well, you know something, brothers and sisters? I've really been blessed. I went with my dad and my brother Jim down to a place there on 24th Street, and I think it was Camelback, to meet a guy that said he was Christ. And when my dad heard that, he said, well, I want to go down and meet him. So we went down. And we went in and they set us down and he come out behind the curtain, and one of the first things I noticed was he was wearing glasses. You think Christ would have to wear glasses? You know? And I was just in my teens, I was just a young fella. And I sat and looked at him and he began to talk to my dad. And when he'd answer something, he wouldn't say, well, the scripture says this or that. He said, I said. And then he'd quote it. Boy, he had a good knowledge of the scriptures, all right. Too bad he didn't understand them. And my dad tied him up. And so he knew he was tied up, so he had a watch. He looked at his watch. He said, well, he says, I've got to go. So he turned to start to go away, and my dad says, By the way, he says, I got one more question. So he stopped, turned around, come back, and he says, what's that? Dad says, I want to feel the holes in your hands and see the scars on your feet. Boy, he was gone. He was gone just like that. And you know, about 3-4 weeks later, they blew him up in California. He was over there teaching a lot of things, and yeah, he was wearing a robe. He was doing all kinds of stuff, but it didn't help him when they blew him up in California because it killed him. But there are those that are supposedly teaching Christ that are not Christ, and they're not teaching Christ, and they're not teaching the truth. You know, that's the beautiful part about our Lord, is that he caused things to be written to edify us so we know what to look for. And we know what he says is true, bar none. How important it is. I'm going to go on further to one I need to go. Got other things I'd tell you, but I don't have time. I want to go to the 14th verse. And this is an important verse because this has the things to do of time coming. This has the things to do with our brothers that preached the last 2 days. The apostles. And those of the evangelists. I'm sorry to say that in the Church of Christ, we got 3 evangelists instead of 70. Myself, Brother Marvin Case, and a brother in the Philippines. There's a lot of work to be done. That's what the Book of Mormon says, but the labor's a few. He says, go forth and prune with all your might. And the Lord of the vineyard will go forth with you. And we have seen that prophecy fulfilled because our brothers have been out in different nations and the Lord has gone with them and protected them. And I know that for a fact because when I went to Yucatan with Brother Don McIndoo, there several times they set to kill us. And each time they set to kill us, we were warned. We were warned. I went into a hut down there in the jungle. Jay, about maybe half the size of this room, with a bunch of my brothers and sisters. And we went and we knelt down, and we was in a season of prayer. When I knelt down, I saw a vision. Just like you're looking right into the TV. Just as plain and simple as can be. And I saw him coming, and I saw him kicking the door down. And when that season of prayer was over, Charlie, I told Brother Don what I saw, and he says, we best go. We went. You know what they did? They kicked that door till it was in the V shape, but we weren't there. Several times they set to kill us, and each time they did, we were warned, don't go or go this way or something. Every time. It seems like they'd get it in their head that they couldn't do nothing, that they're, you know, but they just kept at. Well, our brothers have been going, and have been going a lot of places that's not the safest in the country, but so far, they've been protected. They've been protected. And this is what he's saying here. He says, and the gospel of the kingdom, the 14th verse, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. Wow. The gospel of the kingdom, our brothers, the Church of Christ has just started. We haven't made it through the kingdoms yet. And the world. We've just started. We have a work to do. We have a responsibility to accomplish those things for the Lord. That's our job. That's what he calls us to do. And it's not an easy job. It's not an easy thing sometimes. It's a burdenous job. Let's go to Matthew, the 4th chapter of Matthew, real quick. I'm just going to verify this, guys. Let's go to the 4th chapter of Matthew's, and I'm going to read the 23rd verse. It says, and when Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What was that? We're going to find out here pretty quick. He was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Let's go, as long as we're in Matthew's, let's go over in the 9th chapter of Matthew's. And there in the 9th chapter of Matthew's, let's read the 35th verse. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What is that gospel of the kingdom? It's the way to eternal life. It's the way that we have to walk. It's the way we're going to be judged by. It's important. I'm not going to turn over there, but if you go over to Mosiah in the Book of Mormon, go to the first chapter, and go over there to the 120th verses, it tells you when this gospel has gone to all the world, he says then there's not going to be anybody found. Just, well, I'll just make up my mind. I'm going to ride the fence and with a bucket in each hand, and I'm going to do. He says, oh, no. No. You're going to either make a choice or else. Plain and simple. Maybe I ought to go over there. I want to go over there and read that, I guess. That's in Mosiah, the first chapter. And there in the first chapter, I want to go over to 120th. But if ye yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit and put off the natural man and becometh a saint through the atonement of Christ the Lord, and become as a child, submissive, meek, humble, patient, full of love, willing to submit to all things which the Lord seeth fit to inflict upon him, even as a child doth submit to his father. And moreover, I say unto you, that the time shall come when the knowledge of the Savior shall spread throughout every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And behold, when that time cometh, none shall be found blameless. They're going to have to make a choice, guys. If we're alive then, we're going to have to make that choice. Before God, except it be little children only, to repentance and faith on the name of the Lord God omnipotent. And even at this time, when thou shalt have taught the people the things which the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, even then are they found no more blameless in the sight of God, only according to the words which I have spoken unto thee, and now I have spoken the words which the Lord God hath commanded me. That this gospel of the kingdom is going to go to the world. You and I are part of that. That gospel of the kingdom is going to go to the world through the bride of Christ, which is called the Church of Christ, if you please. And there's not 10,000 of them. There's one. Doesn't make any difference what anybody wants to say. If you want to go to the 19th chapter of Revelation and read down there, it says that he's going to come to his wife, not wives. He's going to come to his wife, and his wife has made herself ready because she's clothed with white raiment. And that white raiment is the righteousness of the saints. It's the righteousness of the saints. And he was commanded to say so. There is so much evidence in the books that he has caused to be written to keep you and I from being drawn away by Satan and have been pulled down until we're chained, or the world. He had answered those questions. He had answered those things. He had answered those. You know, our motorhome is back there somewhere else, okay? But in my library there that I take my motor home, I've got some old books of the Catholic Church. Yeah? Printed by the Catholic Church. And if you want to open it up, it has to do with their Catholicism and stuff. And if you open up the book like that, it says in there, History of the Church of Christ. Jesus formed the first Church of Christ on earth with 12 apostles. They named them. And they were the head of the work of the gospel of Christ. Later on, it goes on to tell you, but the Catholic Church, their bishop took the place of the apostles. Uh-oh, did Christ change? Look out. What do we got here? You go to their old Bible, their old Douay ring, and you open it up at the chapter, Romans 16:16. It says, salute one another with a holy kiss, the Church of the Christ salute you. You go to the New Catholic Bible and it says, shake hands warmly, all the churches here send their greeting. Yeah. If you go to the way of Protestant Bibles, with Billy Graham's letter in the back, how neat it is, it reads word for word like the New Catholic Bible. Shake hands warmly, all the churches here send their greeting. And where he's teaching and is telling them that Christ is teaching with authority and power, his doctrine, which is a way to eternal life, the word doctrine is deleted from those Bibles. It's not there. When you get into the Lord's Prayer, they altered and changed it. And when you get to the end of it, there is no, and it hints that the power and the glory, that he's the power and the glory forever. It's not there. It's gone. When you get into the 23rd chapter of Psalms. Boy, they changed and altered that all around. You know this book here called the Book of Mormon?
Listen to me real close, guys. The gospel was taken from the earth in 570 A.D. Wasn't it? Isn't that what it says? Yeah. 570 A.D. Well, add 1260 to it and see if you don't come up to 1830. When this book was given back by the power of God and it didn't go through the hands of the Catholic Church, it was translated through the inspiration and the power of the very spirit of what? What was he wearing? What was he taking from? Anybody?
Urim and Thummim.
Yeah. What did that Urim and Thummim mean? Do you know, Gage? That means light and perfection. Everywhere we go, brothers and sisters, we find that Christ has so sufficiently caused to be written for the people who want to know him and want to follow after him, that he has caused those things to be written to save them from the world and from Satan. Everywhere you go. I've got a list here. When did we start?
4:30.
Oh, okay. I got to start slowing down, don't I? I got a list of scriptures here that tells you about that gospel. And tells you that it's essential for eternal life. That gospel that's to go to all the world. You know, we have a work to do in the Church of Christ. We're to go to the world. We're to teach the truth. That's what we're to teach. We're to teach the proper way, the truth that Christ taught. Not Satan. Not man that's paid. Not one that's like the sister there in Canada. We have a sister there in Canada that Eve, some of you may know her, okay? She takes resumes and makes up resumes for people that send to other places. And she's had ministers come to her and run up with a resume. And they said, well, we want to know what kind of house they got. How much do they pay? Are they insured? Do we have a good car? And one day she asked one of them, she said, well, I understand you've gone to such and such seminary. Yeah, yeah. She said, well, where we're sending this, they've gone to a different seminary. Oh, that's all right. That's okay. They're there to teach what they want to feed their bodies. Brothers and sisters, we had some beautiful meals here. But the most important meal that we were fed was the food for the spiritual body, the living manna. That's what's so essential, is that living manna. This whole body's going to die. We know that. It's going to go back to the God that gave it. And it's important that we're fed that living manna, the spirit, to grow, that we can resist Satan, that we can stand on the truth, that we don't wander all over the place. That's why he says, I think it was Brother Brian when he wrote in there that you're to meet together off. He knows that our spirit needs to be fed. And that we are to partake of the communion off in the remembrance of Charlie Brown. And that's not who that's in remembrance for all, is it? It's in the remembrance of the Son of God, our Savior, that we can remember Him and not be ashamed of Him, but testify of Him wherever we're at and wherever we're going. And know indeed that we're blessed of His Spirit. And that's where the peace of heart and peace of mind and peace of spirit comes from. It's through the inspiration and power of the Savior called Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's where it comes from. There isn't another that can do those things that He can. And you know, it's not just the body that is sick and so she's healed or he's healed or, you know, He can do all things. He gave us that avenue of prayer to talk to Him. When I was down in Yucatan with Brother Don, we were way back in the jungles in the ruin, and we found a sign there that said, don't let the sun go down on you in this place because they still believe in human sacrifice. So we decided we'd better head out. When we got out to their old beat-up road that they had there in the jungle, we read another sign that said it's only for four-wheel drive, and I drove that old 65 Ford station wagon in there on rocks that were about this high. If you got off of it, it was like a rail. You had to jack it up and push them back up on the rocks. So when we got out, we found out that, we were sitting on the empty pig. Isaac? And we didn't know, we thought, man, it's a long way through those jungles to a service station. So we asked the Lord to bless us. And He did. We drove for well over an hour before we came to a service station. And we pulled in, and the tank in that old Ford held 45 gallons, and that's what we put in it. You say, oh, well, that's just one. My son, right there, he and I was working on the Navajo reservation, and it come to a Sunday, and then Monday we both had to go to work. So we started off the Navajo Nation, we made it down as far as Payson there, and we stopped, and we got there about 3 o'clock in the morning, and the water pump went out on the vehicle and dumped the water all out in the street. And everything was closed. We couldn't get any parts. We couldn't do anything. So he and I decided we need to visit with the Lord about it. And we asked Him to heal that water pump. Charlie, He healed it. We filled it full of water and drove it across the desert into Phoenix. And I drove to work for 2 weeks before I had a chance to change it out. There's nothing that could touch your life and come into your life that you can't visit with the Lord about. there's anything, it doesn't have to be some real unreal thing or something like that. He's interested in the welfare of your soul, and he loves you. He loves you. He believes in the things that he teaches, and he tells you and I that we're supposed to have charity. We're supposed to love. Well, he has charity. He loves his creation. He loves you. He's interested in the welfare of not only the Church of Christ, but he's interested in the welfare of the Russians and the Chinese and the Japanese and the Indian brothers and whoever it is, the Negroes. He's interested in the welfare of the souls of the children of men because he created them. And he breathed the breath of life in them. That's how you got that life, is through the Lord. How important it is that we know that we have someone that's so powerful to do things, and yet is so loving, so gentle, and says to us, if you repent, I'll forgive you. Think about it. Think about the one that you can talk to God the Father in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. Think about how richly blessed we are. To here we are, here coming and talking about those things and one thing and another, and there's a world full of people that could care less and everything else, but for some reason, we've been called out of the world to know the truth. Did you ever think about that? How richly blessed we've been? And the experiences that we've been able to see? Yeah. You know, Ken Orr's father was an elder in Canada. One year they came to a convert there in Independence, and after the preaching service in the evening, while we went over to Tony Grindy's place, I don't see him there anymore, but you need to pray for him. And they had coffee, and they had tea, and they had cookies and sandwiches and all kinds of stuff, you know, donuts and everything, and I was sitting there and I was talking to the late apostle, Brother Bell, Archie Bell. And his dad came over. He said, Brother Bell, he said, I got a question to ask you. Brother Bell said, well, you best ask it. He said, I want to know, he said, how do you strengthen your faith? Brother Bell got a big smile on his face. He says, increase your labor. How true. When you're working for the Lord, you experience all kinds of things, don't you, Jay? That's if you're just sitting home and doing nothing or watching some program on TV, you miss a lot of things of the Spirit that wakes you up and lets you know that He is. And He has a desire for the welfare of your soul. He wants you to come and live with Him and His Father. How important that is. How important that is. And to think that He's with us every day. To think that He's at our beck and call to visit with Him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. To talk to Him about the different things that confront us. Spiritually or emotionally or physically, financially, that He's there. And His ear is tuned to hear your voice and to bless you. How important that is. My feelings was hurt in the beginning here because the brother didn't say I had 2.5 hours. But I just want to tell you, brothers and sisters, I'm not going to go through the rest of this. I have a lot of evidence here of the love of Christ for the children of men. Where you can hear his voice call. If you listen. I have written down here that just for quick information, that the gospel of the kingdom that we just read about there, and I'm not going to go through the rest of it because I verify it scripturally, it is not a watered-down, change-altered gospel. It's what you read in the scriptures that he says this is a way for us to have eternal life with him and his Father. The things that he has taught in the Holy Scripture, they're like a map. They're like a map, Caleb. They're like a map that tells you where your feet is to go in the path to follow the Lord. They're like a compass. They're like a compass that points the direction and the way of eternal life for those who want to believe and obey. It's a compass. Our Lord is a compass that has endeavored to teach us the things to eternal life. He tells us where it's a constant north. He tells you where it's a constant blessing of God the Father if we obey his holy commandment. That compass sets the course. And you know about that compass? You can have all kinds of problems. But that compass still sends the direction of God the Father. It doesn't change. It doesn't alter. It doesn't do any of those things. It's the same gospel throughout all the way. Not a bit. You know, a compass, when you run a boat or a ship, a compass that goes to the north, but when you're in different parts of the country, did you know that that compass is different? You have to delete two, or you have to add some of the degrees and everything because of the world, the way it is. You can't. It doesn't do like you think. And if you aren't careful, you'll run aground. Yeah. And you know it's important. But the compass that has been standard and set up by the Son of God is an everlasting direction of eternal life. Bar none. It's the same. And it will always be the same. And when that gospel of the kingdom goes to all the world, it will be the same gospel that we heard in the preaching services this day and the days before. It will be the same. It don't change. It don't go from the left to the right. It's not longer than that. But it's the same way to eternal life.
I'm gonna close this up. And in closing, I'm gonna read a poem called The Path. That when I was preaching one time in 84, my son Ed, before I finished, he come up and he says, "Dad, when you come to a stop, read this poem." Well, I'm going to bring it to a halt, but I'm going to read the poem that he wrote for me. He says, "What path is it you're walking? Is it the one you should trod? Is it always leading upward to God? Or do you serve another whose pathways are always down until within his darkness you are finally bound? Escape does not come easy.